Hello listeners and welcome to another blog tour edition of Stark Raven Mad, brought to you by Close the Cover Book Tours. It's October 17th, 2013, and here's an exclusive interview with author L.L. Collins about her contemporary drama novel, Living Again. Welcome to SRM, Lauren. Let's start first by discussing you as a writer. Where would you say your love of writing comes from?
You know, actually, it's funny because I get asked that question a lot, but there isn't a time in my life, actually, that I can remember not loving to write. I think my mom jokes that I wrote on things before I even knew how to write words. So I've just loved it. It's just one of those things that ever since I was really small, I just always had something I wanted to write. So I just one of those things I think that is just naturally born in me that is something I love to do. So
yeah, I think we definitely have that in common. I grew up that way too, scribbling stories and things. So did you always dream of becoming a published writer?
I did, actually. When I was a kid, I, you know, kept all of my stories and I would always tell everybody I was going to be an author when I grew up and all of that. But, you know, of course, being a kid, that's a totally different thing than doing it as an adult. But when I went to college, I actually got a degree in creative writing because I was determined that was the only thing I loved to do and I was going to do it. Well, you know, that your dreams as even as a young adult don't always work out the way you think they're going to.
Sure.
And I kind of realized, well, I knew that it was difficult to do, but I kind of realized it was going to be even more difficult than I thought to kind of get published, especially when I saw all of the people around me in my program at college that were really good writers too. So once I got out, I kind of had real world hit me, I guess, and needed to have a job that I could make some money at. So
yeah.
I actually went into, which I always said, my mom was a teacher growing up and I always said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to write. But guess what? I became a teacher. So. But, you know, actually I really do love it. And I think that, you know, I teach little elementary age kids and I think that it's nice too, because I see some of the kids like I was that I teach, you know, that love to write and I like to help that part of them. So I think it worked out the way it was supposed to be. But at the same time, a couple years ago when the self-publishing world started, you know, coming out really strongly, I was like, goodness, I need to be on this train too. So I need to, you know, I need to start thinking about going back to what I always wanted to do. And so I just decided, hey, why not? Just go for it. What do I have to lose? You know?
You know, you and I have so much in common. I did exactly the same thing. I got an English degree with a creative writing element, and I'm a teacher because I need something to pay the bills.
Isn't that funny? That is so ironic.
It's incredible. We've got like parallel dreams, parallel lives going on here.
Yes, maybe we can both have our dreams come true at the same time. Wouldn't that be nice?
I'd hope so, yeah. So in that case, your brand new release for October the 4th is called Living Again. It sounds really fascinating. Tell us about the plot.
Well, the plot is, I'm going to try to not give too much away because there are some things I intentionally leave to the imagination on the blurb on the back because I don't want to give away too much information right away. But the storyline is that this young woman who is in her mid-20s, she's kind of had the quintessential life. You know, she had a great childhood. She went to college. She married her best friend. She has this wonderful job she loves. And she's pregnant with their first baby. And like her life is perfect as she sees it. And then one day her husband gets killed in a car accident on the way home from work. And everything that she has known to that point ceases to exist from then. She kind of has to figure out where she is in life again. She has to learn how to be a mom by herself, without this dream that she had, you know, from herself, you know, was so happy and so, you know, in the best place that she thought she could be, and kind of everything just changed. So she's determined that she's not going to ever go down that path again, that she's going to just raise her child and she's just going to move on, you know, go on as much as she can, just living day to day, until something happens to her child and she meets someone who kind of doesn't let her push him away and kind of keeps showing her that it's more possible than she thinks to move on. And that their road isn't easy either. He's had some issues in the past with a relationship that went super wrong, and so he has a hard time fully trusting someone, and they have a little problem in the book that they have to decide if they can get over, if they both are able to move on, or if it's going to stop them from living together instead of being miserable.
All right. Can you give us a rundown then of the main characters and what they're about? For example, what are they doing for a living?
Okay, Kaylee is the main character, and she is a physical therapist as a job. And she, like I said, she had basically the great, you know, childhood. She had both parents who loved her. She has a brother. You know, she has a great family support. She goes away to college, and she meets this guy because he was also his name is Alex, the one she was married to previously. And they started out as best friends. He was also in the physical therapy program at her school. And when they graduated, they had been friends for 2 years, and they were getting ready to move apart from each other. So on their graduation night, all of their families were there, and he professed his love to her and told her that, you know, she wasn't just his best friend. She was, you know, the love of his life. And then from there, they end up getting married. And they had been married several years at the point where she is pregnant and when he dies. So the other main character in the story is Ben. He's a doctor, and she meets him at another very low point in her life, which is kind of a surprise. So I'm not going to say any more about that. And he, again, from a great family, but has had a little bit of trouble having a relationship and feelings, trust, like he can trust someone after someone really hurt him. So he's kind of been a little bit of a player and kind of not being a commitment kind of type of guy for the past couple of years until he sees her. And then something in him just makes him want to pursue her, even though she tells him basically, no way, I'm not interested. So Kaylee also has a best friend in the story. Her name is Emily, and she is a teacher, and she's kind of her biggest cheerleader, and she is instrumental in kind of helping her put her life back together and kind of realize that she needs to get over it, and you know, that it was a humongous blow to her life, but that her husband that died wouldn't want her to continue living the way she was. He would want her to be happy, he would want her to be loved again, and he would want his child to have a father.
Okay, it strikes me this is going to be a real yank on the heartstrings, this story, with these kinds of issues.
Yes. Yes, it is. My sister told me that I should have named the book Bawling Again, because she cried so many times in the story she needed a whole box of tissues. So I've had several people who have been ARC reading the book for me message me and say, you are ripping my heart out with this book, but I love it and I can't stop reading it, and what is it going to happen next? And so it you know, without giving away information, it is a very emotional journey that she goes on and that you go along with her in the book, but it's a necessary journey for her to get to the point where she can feel like she can move on.
So what did you draw on for the deep emotional moments in the story?
You know, honestly, I was asked previously if this story had any personal bearing for me, and it doesn't. I've never lost anyone that way. I just, you know, sometimes story ideas come into my head that I don't really know why, but this story just came to me one day because I was thinking, you know, I've been married for almost 15 years and I have 2 children, and I just found myself thinking one day, what would you do if you lost your spouse, if you lost someone who basically identified every part of your life, and, you know, your children's father or your children's, you know, mother, whichever way. And I kind of started thinking about that, and like, how would you move on? Would you move on? Do you think that your spouse would want you to be happy again, even though they're no longer there? So I kind of started thinking about, actually more to the point of like, almost like the spouse that died sending some sort of sign or giving some sort of blessing, almost, that everything was okay and that please move on, I want you to be happy. And that's kind of where this storyline came from, is I was just thinking about it one day and all these characters just started coming to me, and they really, you know, it's funny because you always think people sound crazy when they say stuff like that, but the characters really kind of told me where the story was going. And there were some things that, as I was writing, didn't end up the way I thought they were going to. This just kind of turned, you know, the characters were telling me one other thing, or to do change this thing, or this didn't actually happen. It was something else. And so, you know, the storyline where it started and where it ended up was somewhere close to where I had originally anticipated, but also not at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's only fellow authors that can really understand the way that characters sit in your head and tell you things while you're writing.
Yes, yes. And it was many, many nights that I would be laying there staring at the ceiling going, I have to go to sleep now. While it's like these fictional people I created were like screaming in my head for what needed to happen next, or that I needed to get up and keep writing because they wanted to, you know, move on to the next part or whatever. So yeah, many, many nights of that.
So how did you find the process of self-publishing whilst you were getting ready to release Living Again?
You know, a couple of months ago when I started this whole self-publishing process, I had no idea what I was doing. Mm. Thankfully, I am very good on the computer and researching and doing things like that. It's something that I enjoy. So I just actually got on Facebook and, I went to a author signing in Orlando, Florida over the summer. And I met some of the self-published authors that I have loved over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And it really kind of inspired me to go ahead and complete what I was doing. At that point, I only had about 40 pages of Living Again written. And when I came home, I told my friends, I said, I'm finishing it. I'm getting it done. And next year I'm going to be there as an author, not as a fan. And that was kind of the push that I needed to get going where I needed to go. And I wrote over almost 400 pages of this book in a month.
Wow.
So yeah, I was, my poor kids. Thankfully it was summer break. And as I said, I'm a teacher. So I had the time to do it. But there were many days where my kids were like, Mom, are you writing still? So, you know, they were very understanding. But it definitely was a good amount of 8 to 12 hour days sometimes writing and then writing into the night. But you know, the people on Facebook, especially other self-published authors, have been so helpful. I can't even say enough. To name one person specifically, Gail McHugh, who has made it very big in the indie publishing world and now has been signed by a publisher. Yeah. She personally answered questions of mine on Facebook through private message. Steered me in the right way to who to use to format my book. I didn't even know what the word formatting meant when I started this whole thing. I just started contacting bloggers who are also phenomenal and wonderful, and they will help you, you know, spread any information you want. You know, I started my Facebook page probably almost 2 months ago now, and I have almost 1,500 likes, and my book isn't even out.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, the people that are out there have been very, very, very helpful, just kind of helping you understand the process and what you need to do and what step is next. And the people that have actually helped me work on my book, the girl that did my cover, her name is Carrie. She has her own business on online cover to cover designs. She did my whole cover for me.
I've heard of them.
I'm sorry?
I've heard of them. Yeah.
You've heard of them? Yeah, she's great. She's great. And she kind of asked me, you know, what are you looking for? What's your story about? And she just nailed it. Like, she got exactly what I wanted. It's like she just pulled it right out of my head without even, you know, being really, she hadn't even read the story at that point. She's read it now. But just a lot of really phenomenal people that will help anybody out who's new to this. And they, even though they may have become successful, they haven't forgotten where they started. So they're just out there really happy to help other people. And that's kind of really helped the self-publishing process. So now, you know, that I've learned all of this stuff, I'm paying it forward for some other people who are new and kind of telling them, hey, I had help with this. Tell me when you're ready and I'll show you what I had to do for uploading it to this website or for, you know, getting a blog tour or things like that. So, yeah. You know, I just think that the indie publishing world is just really supportive of each other, thankfully, for the most part. I mean, I've heard of some people out there that have not been as supportive, but I haven't run across any yet, thankfully. And I think, you know, if we stick together as a community, there's plenty of people out there to read. We don't need to be in competition as much with each other either.
Okay, so that's a very obvious upside of being an independent author. Would you say there have been any struggles or downsides to the experience?
Well, I say the only thing that's really, I don't know if I would call it a downside, but just that it's difficult to manage how much time you actually need to spend talking to people and promoting yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to kind of put yourself out there and say, hey, I know you don't really know me, but would you mind, you know, posting about my book or, you know, liking my Facebook page and kind of putting yourself out there? You know, I work full time. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and now I'm writing this book. And then I feel like I have to spend a couple hours a day kind of contacting other people and talking to other people just to keep myself, you know, in the information loop there. So I'd say if there was any negative, it's that you kind of get the emphasis away from your writing and more on promoting yourself because you don't have somebody to do that for you.
Yeah.
Though I do have a great, great friend of mine who was one of my first readers who helped me through, you know, writing this book and kind of, you know, she would read something. I'd say, hey, can you read this for me and see what you think? And she'd give me her pointers, and she's been phenomenal as far as helping me. Tell me what you want me to help you with and I'll do it. You don't need to worry about it. She'll get on Facebook and talk to people for me and things like that. So she's been great. But, you know, most of the time I still do spend several hours every day kind of checking, you know, making sure I'm checking my email, checking my Facebook. Do I need to do anything for anybody for my blog tour coming up and, you know, things like that. So it is just time consuming, I would say, would be the only real, I'm not really sure I would even call that a negative. It's just something that kind of takes away from your writing.
Yeah, sometimes it's a chore and sometimes it's a pleasure, but either way, it's got to be done.
Yes, exactly. If you want to make it at all, then you have to do it. I mean, I know several people who, you know, have written also and have published, but don't contact other people and don't put themselves out there, and they're not selling. Because, I mean, when you have hundreds of thousands of books on Amazon, Barnes and Noble or whatever, if somebody doesn't know who you are and have seen your title before, you're just not going to sell.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So in that case, to promote future work, 2014, we see the release of Reaching Rachel, which is the sequel to Living Again. What can we expect in the second story?
Rachel is one of Kaylee's friends from Living Again. She works with her at the physical therapy office. She's the office manager, and she is she's within the story quite a bit, but not as much as Emily, her best friend. And we kind of get a glimpse of Rachel in Living Again as being this wild child kind of woman who doesn't want to settle down. She goes from guy to guy and just kind of scoffs the idea of being in love. Cynical and kind of just, you know, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to settle down. She's very cryptic about her past because she doesn't want anyone to know what she's been through. So the book is going to take us through her journey and explain why she feels the way she does about being in a relationship. And she's actually going to get herself involved in a situation that is she cannot get out of. And she is going to end up running into the past that she's trying to run away from in that instant. So everything is going to kind of come to a head for her in this book. They're all going to learn about what was the big secret, the little innuendo she kind of gives off sometimes about maybe everything wasn't always so perfect for her. And going to have to come to a decision about her future and whether she wants to believe that she can love or whether she's really going to just let everything go away and move forward. So it's kind of like not at all like Kaylee's storyline. She's very different from her, but kind of the same premise in that, you know, she needs to learn that the past is the past and she needs to move on from it.
So it's fair to call this a contemporary romance story. What inspires you to write in this genre?
I think I'm just like a good love story. You know, it's kind of where you can get lost in a story and you can feel like, oh, that's so, you know, he's so sweet or that's so romantic and things like that. Whereas like, you know, when you've been married for, you know, 15 years and you forget what it was like when you first met each other, that whole butterfly in the stomach thing. I think that's, you know, what a lot of women think, like when they read romance, they're kind of losing themselves and remembering what that was like. And, you know, not that they don't love their spouses now or anything like that, but that it's a lot different when you grow up and have children and all of that. But to get yourself lost in a good romance is always a good way to help remember, you know, what your past has been like, or for some people, you know, to dream that it could happen for them. So I've always been interested. I've always read romance. So I always felt like that was where I was going to go. I also
when I was younger, thought I would write books for like the teenage age. And my my school kids in the past have talked about us writing a book together for kids their age, because I teach gifted kids. So sometimes it's hard that they are, say, 7 or 8 years old, but they can read on a reading level of a 12-year-old to find a book that's appropriate for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I won't say that I'll always be just limited to romance, but I do kind of always lean that way when I read, and therefore then when I write.
So in that case, what does the future hold for you after Living Again and Reaching Rachel?
There will probably be a third book in the series on another character. I haven't made 100% made that decision yet. I've got a couple things rolling around in my head. So I'll finish up that series, and then I've got a whole list of stories that pop into my head that I'll see which one is speaking to me the loudest at that time, and I'll work on that one next. And so I definitely don't feel like I'm going to slow down. I want to keep writing as much as I can to kind of make sure I get out there and see what happens from there.
Well, Lauren, I wish you the best of luck. It sounds like this book's going to be something that's really going to touch people and affect them. I have a feeling this is a book a lot of people are going to be talking about.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope so. I really, really hope so. But, you know, it's I'm just glad that I got to do it. And no matter what happens from here, it's something I always wanted to accomplish, and I did. So I think I'll just be happy with that.
This blog tour episode is brought to you in conjunction with Close the Cover Book Tours. Please check back for more special episodes at starkravenmadradio.blogspot.com.